There are a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL draft this year. My name is Ben Solak, and I host the Ringer NFL Draft Show with Danny Kelly, Danny Heifetz, and Greg Horlbeck. We cover trades, free agency, and the draft, which is, obviously. We'll tell you about everything, which includes which quarterbacks are good, which quarterbacks are bad, and which quarterbacks are just Kirk Cousins. That is the Ringer NFL Draft Show. Search the Ringer NFL Draft Show on Spotify.
It's the Ringer's Philly Special, presented by FanDuel. April showers bring a loaded sports calendar, and FanDuel is the place to bet on it all. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and get paid instantly when you win. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Hungry dogs run fast.
It's truly a Philly thing here.
Welcome to the Ringers Philly Special. Sheil Kapadia here, live. Well, not live. In Vegas, Radio Row, with two special guests. We got Bo Wolf and Zach Berman from PHLY. They were complaining they don't get to pod enough. They don't have an outlet to get their takes off enough. They want to do more. They wanted to come on. So I thought, what better time than now, Bo?
Yeah, I'm glad that you said Radio Row because we've been going back and forth on this. Zach says, well, you know, the NFL doesn't want it to be called Radio Row anymore. Like, they don't get to tell us
through
what
them.
It's called.
No, they don't get to tell us what it's called.
Are you on a radio station?
No.
Are you on a radio station?
Yes. Ringer Podcast Network?
Well, that's my point. This is the media center. Okay,
right.
Radio.
But maybe
Row.
Your definition right. of radio it doesn't need to be so antiquated. Maybe you can embrace the fact that radio
listen,
is.
Listen, we have Arjuna specially producing this because I wanted to, and we're not keeping him here until 10 tonight. So I know. Generally, we just go for 3 hours, but we can't do that now. We got Julia taking photos and videos over here. We got a lot going on. All right.
When's this bad boy dropping? Is this a tomorrow? Is this a Wednesday drop?
East producer Cliff Augustine will probably get to it tonight, I think.
Okay.
Tuesday night. Why?
Well, I want to know if we can tease the interview that we did today, but that's going to be on our show tomorrow.
Okay.
That's, I think you will
go
appreciate
ahead, tease it.
As a longtime payoff for former Birds with Friends listeners, something that has been in the works for a very long time. We finally got some on-the-record commentary from an important person.
There
you can
go.
Watch that tomorrow.
All PHLY. You can watch them every day. For an hour, you can listen to him every day.
And you can read as well.
And you can read as well, which Zach wants you to know. You can read as well. So be sure to check that out. All right, here's the exercise. You know the exercise.
I love this game.
We've done the exercise. Now, here's what happened. I was at the 49ers availability, and let's upgrade the Wi-Fi and the 5G.
Julia's nodding her head.
Yeah.
The Wi-Fi this week.
So I had to just close the laptop and do old school. Look at this. It's all written right here on this little notebook. And I came up with eight topics. Some of them, yeah, I just added one before we started. Some of them are Eagles related. Some of them have nothing to do at all with the Eagles, which I know Zach will enjoy those the most. So, Zach, you look a little anxious there. Go ahead. You pick the first number, and we will start with that one. What do you got?
5, Jalen Rose. Shout out to the Ringer.
Yeah. All right, good. There you go. You picked an Eagles related one, which
goodness.
I'm sure
yes.
makes you very happy. Bo is breaking out pen and paper. Doing the work for me because I'm not going to remember what numbers you picked. All right.
I want to get into big picture Eagles topics with you. You guys do the minute and the big picture every day, but I was thinking, I'm like, you know what? I don't know exactly what they think about some of these topics. Sure. Like I've heard them, you know, like daily in little nuggets and what they think that day, but I'm zooming out. I don't know what you really
hard to get off the treadmill. Yeah,
is going to happen with this football team. So here's one. If Nick, this one doesn't really have to do bad setup, Jill. If Nick Sirianni is out next year as head coach in 2025, and I give you, you know, let's say I win $500 at the blackjack table tonight, and I give you $500, and I say, I will give you this $500 here if you properly predict who is coaching the Philadelphia Eagles in 2025 in the event that Nick Sirianni is no longer the head coach. So we're going to get into more about Sirianni, what's going to happen. But in this exercise, we're assuming he's out and you get one guess at it. So you can go anywhere you want. Do you want me to throw some names out there to jog your memory?
I'm
you have an answer.
No.
So
what's their record?
What's their record?
You know, is that they're out.
Telling you Sirianni's out.
So because this is the thing. It's a nuanced answer.
Okay. All right.
Is that if they are an 8-9 team or a 9-8 team and they just don't show that progress, but they're still in that mix, then Bill Belichick. If they are a 5 or 6 win team and it's like they need to reset, Ben Johnson.
Okay.
Because I think those are two different stages. I think if they look at it like this roster's in place,
what would it take for them to win 5 or 6 games? I mean, that would be.
Well, they went 1-6, you know, 6
yeah,
down
that's
the stretch.
True. Good point. Good
so
point.
Down the stretch, they were as bad as any team in football.
Okay.
Through the first 11 games, they were better than any team in football, at least by record. So it really depends. I think if they're in that stage where they just need a different voice, but the ingredients are there to win, then I think Bill Belichick, in a short-term fix, puts you over the edge, or you hope he puts you over the edge, and then 2-3 years later, you kind of go for the way you identified Andy Reid or the way you identified Nick Sirianni. But if this is a situation where they say, man, we need to reassess this whole thing. We need a totally different offensive structure for Jalen Hurts. We need a totally different, you know, like we're starting, I don't want to say starting over, but bringing in, it's a different era of Eagles football than I think Ben Johnson or that type of offensive coach. But
I'm putting you down for Bill Belichick because I think absurd follow-up. I mean, now I know how Bo feels. I mean, listen, it's just the question. It's the question. Yeah. You got to answer. But I think the more likely scenario would be 8-ish wins and they're underachieving and Sirianni's out of there. But 5 or 6 would obviously be a different conversation. All right, Bo, what do you got?
So my take is that this year would have been the Belichick year. I don't think it would make sense next year, even if they are a 9-win, 8-win team.
Why not?
Because he's a year older. You have Fangio in the building now. And I feel like if Ben Johnson makes more sense to me next year, because you bring in Ben Johnson, you can pair him with Fangio. That's fine. They love Fangio, assuming that things don't just totally crater this year. This year is the year that felt like the Belichick turnkey opportunity for me, because the roster is still like ready to win. Belichick could have come in. You sort of squeeze the juice out of the roster. The thing that we've been saying is that, like, I'm a little bit concerned about how quickly they went to just get Kellen Moore, especially, and just sort of chase the high floor of the best guys who were available. Because as we've sort of said, like the it's all about the roster. The roster is king in this organization. And like next year, if you're starting from scratch again, like, does Howie want Belichick in the building? I'm not so sure. I feel like this is the year when Jeffrey would have been mad enough to sort of push the Bill Belichick button. I think next year, if something happens, there's a little bit more of a slow burn. They can canvas the league a little bit better maybe than they would have been able to this year because it happened so quickly. I think like Ben Johnson or someone of that ilk would make more sense next
year.
Do
you believe, this isn't reporting, do you believe that there was any smoke? Do you think there was internal conversations about Bill Belichick this offseason? Do you think there was a reach out to maybe Belichick privately or his agent? Do you think there was any little dance about the possibility of bringing Bill Belichick this offseason?
I mean, Were there internal conversations? Absolutely. Okay. I would be shocked if that was not the case.
I agree.
I mean, just how long it took for them to have that meeting.
Yeah.
If you think that Jeffrey Lurie was just buying a boat in
was Belichick in
St. Martin
Cayman
for three works,
Martin, sorry,
like,
the
Cayman I don't know. I don't know if they met, but like, he's not, his phone's not off.
Ooh,
like,
that's a juicy little anecdote for like a Zach Berman, like 2026 feature, like Jeffrey Lurie, you know, docked his yacht and up came Bill Belichick in a banana.
It is a good, like a decade from now. Like, we just talked to Brian Billick earlier. And remember, the Eagles interviewed him in
Flexi, right?
Well, and the Eagles talked to him in 2013 when they were about to hire Chip Kelly, but they didn't know Chip was going to say yes. And like, we don't know, like Brian Billick's like, yeah, you know, that almost happened, but like, I think they sort of made up their mind, but maybe it was misconstrued. And then another guy's like that was pretty close to happening. And so like, a decade later, we get a little bit of a peek into that. Who knows what we'll hear from Jeffrey a few years down the line.
What do you think, CB, the Belichick thing?
I think the internal conversations. Sure. I mean, I think when you're considering whether to keep Nick Sirianni after that decline, you're also measuring not just Nick Sirianni's ceiling, but the alternative, right? And there's a cost-benefit analysis to it, right? Like, do you want to fire everybody and eat that? Do you want to... Do you think you're pulling the carpet too soon? So I would imagine... Look, it would behoove them to have those conversations.
Yeah.
If the most accomplished coach in NFL history is available and you just lost 6 or 7 games, if you're not having that conversation, it's almost irresponsible. That doesn't mean that there's, you know, to the point where you reach out, where you have the conversations externally, but internally, sure, you should discuss that. The same way if you're discussing whether to keep Jalen Hurts or trade for player X, like, I would say coaches are no different than players in that regard.
And Zach, do you think if things had gone badly in that postseason meeting, that Belichick would be the coach if they had fired Sirianni?
That's a good question. If they fired Sirianni this offseason, who's coaching the Eagles right now?
I think Bill Belichick.
Really?
I do. Yeah.
Wow.
I could see an argument for Ben Johnson, but the thing with Ben, and frankly, I don't know Ben Johnson. I only know what I've read. But
by the way, listen to Extra Point Taken where Solek and I really had fun and made fun of like this despicable behavior.
Yeah,
like, how dare he? He will never work. Like, everyone settled down. Sorry, but continue.
Yeah, but
oh, no, Josh Harris is mad. Like,
but my point is that if you feel like there's a learning on the job component there, I don't think the Eagles feel they're at the stage where there's the learning on the job.
Yeah.
It's the Eagles want to capitalize on the 2024 season. And I think that's part of why Nick Sirianni's back. I think they think he's a coach who can capitalize on the 2024 season with a better staff around him.
Wait, I want to know who else was on your list.
What list?
Of potential coaches next year.
Oh, okay. I was just
you said you
come,
had a list.
I was just going to come up with something off the top of my head. I don't have anyone else that's really good. Yeah, I don't think Vrabel would be a guy.
Slowick, like...
I mean, if you're going to Slowick, you might as well go with Johnson.
Probably.
Unless Slowick's better
than
Johnson.
Yeah, but Slowick's never asked for too much money in a contract negotiation
he's never
before.
The despicable behavior. All right. That was good. That was a juicy one to start with. It took a while, but it was worth it. All right. That was 5. Bo, you're up. What do you got?
Six.
Six.
I was going to go 6-9, 6-9 for Tony Pauline, but there's no 9.
All right. There you go. I did enjoy your interview with Tony Pauline. All right. 6. All right. So this is kind of like... In Ringer language, a half-baked idea, but I was thinking about this. So there's like, you know, there's all these different hotels in Vegas, even not just in Vegas. You got
to see Zach talk about and do Vegas. Can I railroad this for a second?
Of course.
Zach, can you give us the geographical order of the casinos up and down the strip, please?
Sure.
Listen to this.
I mean... From where we are now, you got Mandalay Bay, then you got Luxor, then you got Excalibur, then you got New York, New York, then you have Park MGM, and then you have like the Aria / Vedera, I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly, okay? Then you have the Cosmopolitan, then I believe you have the Bellagio, and then then there's, I believe the Mirage, and then Caesars could be missing some as you go north on the Strip. But anyways, you know, and then when you go all the way up, you get Resorts World, which just opened 2 years ago.
That's just one side of the street?
Yeah, that's your left side. And then you go across And you have the win in the and you have the win in the encore, and then you have the Venetian and the Palazzo, you know, and you go you go all the way down to the MGM Grand.
I'm a little bit worried. I think you might have just got hired by the Ringer.
Zach loves Vegas.
Yeah.
What's there not to love?
Well.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So I was back to the question. So it's the best. And even when you go, you know, you go on road trips for like, or even with family, it's like, all right, what hotel do you stay? Now you might be loyal to a certain brand.
Yeah.
But a lot of times there's not like, it's hard. One has a better location. There's not like a differentiating factor.
I'm excited for when this comes to me, but go on.
So I was thinking about like, could a marketing campaign, and if you're a hotel company listening, with bidets, could this be a differentiating factor? That now Zach is disgusted. Okay, so here's
what Zach won't even pee sitting down, let alone use a bidet.
Okay, so I think this could work because you know you got to come up with something. This is how our hotel is different from all the other hotels. So here's the market. So you're getting the people who use the bidet at home. They're saying, if I'm there for 3 days,
the home, yeah.
I'm leaving my home, I would like to continue to be able to use the bidet when I'm on my travels. You know. Traveling, you might be a little we don't need to get in all the details, sure. But you know what I'm talking about. So that's one. But then you also get the market.
Yeah, the curiosity. Yeah, I like
this. The wolves are going on a family vacation. All of a sudden they're looking. And Bo's saying, well, this one's $15 more, but would you like to try out the bidet?
Yeah, I'm in on this. This is a great idea.
You know, I would like to try out a bidet. Would you like to? Other parts of the world, I mean, everywhere you go, they're using that. So I think if there's an enterprising, you can just make it one of your, you know, like hotels. They got a lot of different chains. So you just make one.
Renaissance Inn bidet.
Yeah, this is the one with the bidet. You bump you up a little bit. You might say, I don't know if you're going to save money or a lot. You got the money, you know, you got money up front, but then, you know, you'll probably save on a little toilet paper, perhaps. The better for
true.
The plumbing.
Yeah.
You know? So there you go. All right. Zach might walk out.
I think it's a great idea.
Why are you so disgusted by that?
Well, I just don't know enough about bidets.
You've never tried it.
Aren't you curious?
Yeah, you could go one day.
So here's the thing. My hotel selection process, beyond price, is based on how new it is, right? Like I'm
in on that.
Or refurbished rooms. That's important to me.
Okay,
give me your top three criteria. Like, aside from choosing the hotel, once you get into the room, evaluating whether it's a good room or not. What are the three most important things?
That's a good question. Okay.
I want the bathroom to be nice and new.
Yeah.
I want good water pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Water pressure's in my top three.
But you don't know that until a few minutes in. I'm saying, like, have you ever...
he jumps in the
It takes at least 90 seconds before I know about the water pressure.
But my point, I thought the question was when you walk into the room, how do you know, all right, I'm good here, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, first thing you're thinking about is smell, right? Like,
what kind of places are you staying at? How many smelly rooms have you been in? What the world?
Again, the bidet's coming in handy here.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, you want to feel like this is new, this is fresh, this is clean.
Yeah, but
that's my point.
Okay.
So sometimes these hotels have like
there can be a mustiness. Yeah.
Or you know, the air purification system is such that you know, it smells fresh. It smells clean. You know,
Arjuna's never volunteering for this again.
There are
like,
literally
I'm not doing this next
so,
year.
A matter of fact, I was in a hotel relatively recently. And the lobby smelled so good. And I asked...
he can't keep it together.
So I asked the person at the front desk, excuse me, what do you do to make the lobby?
What?
So what they do, so it's not like an air freshener per se. It's actually in the HVAC. They have something that pumps in this smell. And so...
So Zach went home and tore apart his indoor plumbing and tore apart the HVAC.
No, I looked into what it would take to do that type of thing. And needless to say, it's done in commercial properties for a reason, not necessarily residential. But Yeah. A good fresh smell. A good fresh smell is important. Right. I think that's a reasonable take.
Bo, and, you're in on the idea.
Yeah. The bidet idea?
Yeah.
Going back, yeah, absolutely. You're in. Great idea.
Zach?
I would argue one of your best.
Thank you. What a high compliment. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a minute. Happy Super Bowl to all who celebrate from FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. If you're like me, Super Bowl Sunday is all about scoring the best seat on the couch, grabbing your favorite football snacks, and placing some super bets. I'm still going Chiefs. What is it? +2? +1.5? You can do that. You can do whatever you want. FanDuel has so many ways for you to end the season with a W or 2 or 3. Not only can you bet on who will win Super Bowl 58, but FanDuel also has bets for which players will score a touchdown, how many points will be scored, and so much more. If you're new to FanDuel, join today and you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you win your first $5 bet. Just visit FanDuel.com/RingerPhilly to sign up. That's FanDuel.com/RingerPhilly. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit theringer.com/RG. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
All right, we are back on the Ringers Philly special. Zach did not ask anyone in Raider Row why it smells so good in here. He just took a sip of his water. All right, Zach, you're up next. What do you got?
Let's go number three, Allen Iverson.
Number three. Okay. Another Eagles one. Are you going to get all the Eagles one? And Bull's going to get all the good day one. All right. So here's the question. This is a good follow-up to the last one. So I've heard you guys discuss every aspect of Sirianni, Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio. I've not heard you answer the question, what's the most likely scenario here? Like, is this going to work? If you had to say this is the most likely scenario for how this plays out, we know what they've done this offseason. We know what they're going to try to do next season. What's the most likely scenario for the Eagles for the 2024 season?
Well, the obvious answer is I first need to know what they do with this roster because they have personnel deficiencies. But I think the most likely scenario is for them to be a contending team that can go deep in the postseason. I look at the offensive talent that they have. Now, it's obviously incumbent upon Jalen Hurts taking a step forward as opposed to regressing. But they are loaded at wide receiver. Their offensive line, even if they lose Kelsey, I think remains strong. I think they'll be able to score points, and I think they'll be able to pressure the quarterback, even though they did not this year. There are things they need to do on the back end of the defense in particular. There are things they need to do in the middle of the defense, and then there's an adjustment in scheme. But when I look at simply the talent on the roster, and I look at the NFC overall, I don't see a reason why the Eagles should not have the expectation of being a double-digit win team that can push into the second or third weekend.
Okay, but they had this same talent, and we just watched them go 1-6 down the stretch and be one of the worst. So
Yeah, but I also saw them go 11-1. Too.
Okay, so you think...
Oh, I'm sorry, 10-1.
...that Kellen Moore will work out fine, Vic Fangio will work out fine, Nick Sirianni in this new role will work out fine, and this team will be a... That's the most likely scenario, and this team will be a contender next year.
Yeah, I think that's the most likely scenario. Okay. Now there's...
We'll get to the...
There's a margin for error, of course, but... I do think that's the most likely scenario.
All right. Bo, what do you think?
I think the most likely scenario is along the lines of what Zach said. I think they've got a top eight offense. They bounce back a little bit. They come back with, you know, maybe Jalen Hurts' legs are more of a factor. They come back with a little bit more creativity on offense. They coalesce as the season goes on, and they've got a solid offense that carries them, and they've got, you know, a top... They're like 18th in the league on defense, which is fine. You know, they're chasing, like, mediocrity there.
Yeah.
And they win, you know, 10, 11 games, maybe win the division, and lose in the second round of the playoffs. That's, like, the most likely scenario. I'm not banking on that. I'm pretty skeptical right now. The staff, which looks so good, is worrying me a little bit. Like, the sort of dream team vibes of it and how everything looks... so much like the right decision, the easy decision on paper. We've been talking about it a little bit this week, like the way they're set up with, like, okay, Vic Fangio's coming in and he's bringing in all his guys on defense. They've never worked with, I mean, Fangio has worked with Sirianni in like a very limited capacity as a consultant, but then, you know, Sirianni's bringing in Kellen Moore, who is not his guy. How much does he want to be involved in the offense? It feels like a recipe for like ego clashing and like these guys who Nick does not have the earned equity with to sort of like boss around. I worry about it a little bit, and I feel like they got the best band-aids they could, but I'm not so sure that they have addressed the root core problems.
I think I agree with that. Yeah, like if you told me here's who they're going to hire, I would have said that seems like a pretty good scenario. It's a weird setup. The coach has, but the coach has been completely stripped, at least in my estimation, of like his authority on his control of this football team. They are putting the people in place who they think can help the head coach, which again, that's fine to do. We all watched how the season ended. It's a reasonable thing to do. Is the coach going to be okay with that? Is Fangio going to be okay with the personnel he gets on defense? I actually think Kellen Moore is going to be like, he's kind of the least, he seems like a sort of low key. Like, I don't think he's going to be a problem, but yeah, again, is Sirianni going to be like, I want to do this. Or is it just, nope, sorry, you agreed and you handed the keys to this guy and we don't really want to hear from you with your offense. So it is a hard question to answer. Like, I can see a scenario where it works out well, and maybe it doesn't work out for the next 3 to 5 years, but it works out for 2024. They stay healthy. They've got the talent. They've got players in their prime. They've got the right coaches. But yeah, I kind of see, like, my gut is telling me don't underestimate the possibility that it goes horribly wrong. I don't know.
That's my gut too.
And that's my gut. All right.
I don't know.
That was number three. Bo, what do you got?
Give me number seven, the Wolf's favorite number. Mickey Mantle.
Seven. Okay, this is a good one. You got a non-Eagle. Are you staring at my little notebook?
No.
When I held it up really quick, did you take a photo of it? All right, so here's a question. You're getting ready to go on a plane. You're downloading some stuff maybe on your tablet, deciding what to watch. There's something you want to watch, but it's got a little risque. It's nothing. You're not. It's like an R-rated movie. It could be a television. I'll give you the example. For me, I'm going on a Sopranos rewatch binge, okay?
Nice.
Now we know.
A little bada bing.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be at the bada bing at some point. There's going to be so am I, like, able to watch this on a plane, or are people looking at me going, you freaking get this guy off the plane. Look at, could, or does it Like, what? Basically, what is your response? You have something you want to watch? Because that's what I wanted to watch on my way here. But I was a little nervous about the wrong guys catching it. And now all of a sudden, people are judging me.
Well, it's interesting you asked, because on the way over here, on the flight over, we took about an 8 p.m. flight from Philly to Vegas. And I watched the movie Saltburn.
Okay.
On my... And he's
Arjun
laughing.
Arjun is a movie Arjun. Guy. Yeah.
And it's night. I'm like 3/4 of the way through the movie.
Where are you sitting?
Little
where
bit
are you
of risk.
Sitting?
Now, I'm, this
I was
is,
about to
this
say
is
that.
Important. I'm on the window.
Yes. Okay. That's huge.
But this is key. Nobody in the middle seat behind me. So nobody peering through that crack.
Okay. So there's really only one.
And I didn't know what was coming. I didn't really know what to expect. But the final scene of the movie, not to, you know, spoiler alert
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Just a man dancing around in the nude.
Like in the nude?
Dong
nude?
Out, yeah.
Okay, all right.
The whole time.
Could have just and answered like, my question.
Like, is anybody seeing what's going on? And it's like midnight. Most people are sleeping. But yeah, that was on my mind. I don't know what people would have
so
been
what,
thinking.
Did you, just watch through? Did you angle it? Did you?
No, I just, I just let it play.
Let it rip, okay.
and yeah, so yeah, I mean, there could have been some judgment, but.
Okay.
I will also never forget the story of my wife's work friend once flying out to Las Vegas, and the man next to the friend just watching hardcore porn on us.
Well, okay, well, that's one way. Yeah, that I would say is definitely inappropriate. Let's not do that. Yeah. All right, Zach, what do you got? I know you're watching a Belichick doc, so.
Well, so it really depends if you're sitting window or aisle, okay? In this scenario, if I'm sitting aisle, then yeah. I am either, if it's a computer screen, I'm tilting it down. If it, but typically, I would fast forward through it.
Oh,
to try to,
okay.
Because for the, yeah, I mean.
You know, if they're kids. Yeah.
Or just you don't want people like, yeah, someone's going to the bathroom. They they walk by you and all of a sudden they see you're watching that. It's like, who is this guy, right?
Yeah.
Now.
But you also don't want them to think you're a prude. Just see you fast forwarding.
I would rather them think I'm fast forwarding than that go. So now if I'm in the window seat, I would be a little less, you know, anxious or like self aware about that. Yeah. I'd probably tilt it down, but I don't know if I would do the complete fast forward. But yeah, this is a very real thing. I usually try to do work on a plane.
Wi-Fi was out on the flight.
Wi-Fi
over.
Was out. I watched the Barry Sanders documentary.
Which shocking amount of nudity in that.
Yeah, I was gonna say yeah. That one. I wasn't ready for about 62 minutes.
Yeah.
So yeah, but look, this is
Scott Mitchell.
I would typically fast forward through that or tilt the screen down if it's an iPad. Yeah, you got it.
But
I would
now, see, I would be worried about making the move to like just putting it on your lap to hide it, because then people think it's like, oh, you're making it a private thing. Like, no, there's nothing to be ashamed of here. This is a piece of art that I'm consuming.
Yeah. I was window for the first leg of my flight, and I knocked out 2 episodes, and one of them couldn't have been like on the scale of like Sopranos ones that are inappropriate in terms of what's being shown. It was probably, you know, up there, but I felt like I had a nice angle to it and that no one could really see. And, you know, there was a middle-aged guy next to me. Like I wasn't, you know, worried about him.
What's the etiquette for looking over at someone's screen?
Oh, I do it. Yeah. One of the most fun parts about being on a plane.
Really?
I want to see everything that these people are looking at. I'll look ahead to the row in front of me.
They could be watching the same movie as me, and I would be watching their screen just as often. Yeah.
I swear, a woman in front of me spent 3 hours researching spas in Vegas. I'm like, just pick one already. How many could you be possibly be looking at here?
What was nice is the woman next to me was watching the Breakpoint on Netflix, and I've been curious. Like, I haven't watched it yet. I'm like, oh, do I want to? Who are they following? Am I going to be interested in this? So, a little preview for myself.
I watched The Holdovers on my second.
I like The Holdovers.
Yeah,
I didn't love The Holdovers, but I like The Holdovers.
Yeah, because the reason I ask because I'm a.
I think Zach would like The Holdovers, don't you think?
I think he would.
I think they'd be right down your alley, Zach.
I'll check that out. Yeah. But I'm a big computer texter, right? And especially when you're on a plane.
Yeah,
that's how you
know much better on that.
And so you know, do I need to minimize
yeah,
that?
Do. Yeah. You do. Okay.
People are looking at
some of the stuff I text you. We can't be putting that out there to the world.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I didn't know people look at your screen.
I meant like the things I say anyway. All right.
Have you seen Past Lives?
No.
I think you'd like a Past Lives.
Yeah, she, Yeah. All right. Holdovers, Arjuna. Thumbs up. All right. Arjuna liked the holdovers. Yeah,
I liked it a lot.
I'm like an 80s feel to it, right?
I liked it a lot. I was surprised at like the Oscar love that it got. That's really
I would agree with that. I was like,
yeah.
Love a Giamatti. Go on. Who doesn't love a Giamatti?
But Past Lives was like, that was
you loved the Past Lives.
Loved a Past Lives.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Is that your Oscar winner if you were
voting? I haven't seen everything yet.
Okay.
What about you, Arjuna?
Arjuna's thinking about it. Oppenheimer.
Okay.
Terrific film.
Is it your favorite?
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. He says Oppenheimer's going to win, but doesn't.
I want to know your favorite.
We got two Past Lives on here. Okay.
Quick Oppenheimer question for you. If someone says to you, I enjoyed it as a fan of history, what would your response be? Would you think that's a reasonable comment to make?
All right.
Thank you. Yeah, exactly. He Bo ostracized me for acting
as...
It's
not a documentary. It's...
I'm saying the characters weren't made up. Like these
people. All right, I'm going to read between the lines here. Arjuna said, I guess so.
Yeah,
I actually think he would lean more to it. Arjuna's a very nice guy. I think he leans to it. I saw the look on his face, and he was like, who would say that? But I actually think he leans. He leans with Bo
okay.
on that one. All right. Where were we? Okay, so we're, window, angle it. Aisle, I think it's a no-go, honestly. You just can't. It's hard to do. So you got to move on to something else. All right, ZB, what do you got?
Let's go two in honor of Matt Ryan.
All right, two is you're going to love this one. This is right down your alley, because I know I'm pretty sure you've done this before. So my flight had a stop in Chicago, and then it said we overbooked the flight.
Oh.
And it said on the app.
Terrific situation.
Choose one of these price points. And we'll let you know if, you get chosen, you go on a later flight, and you get the credit. Now, at this point, the flight was delayed, so I was already missing media night. So I said, it's 2 hours later. I'm not going to go to media night anyway. Here were the four numbers. 500, 750, 850, 1,050.
Interesting numbers.
I thought so, too.
Weird spacing.
Well, actually, my first flight was overbooked from Philly, and it was way cheap. It was like 200, 300, 400, 500. I don't know what the difference was. This one was more overbooked. I don't know. Yeah. What number, let's say you want the outcome to be, just what number would you choose? Same thing.
So what I would do in that situation is then I go on the airplane's website and I see the other flights, right? I see what my alternative options are.
Yeah.
Are there seats?
It tells you that when you,
So then if there's an alternative
I'll give you the whole deal. You're going to be at the airport for maybe 3 more hours.
Okay.
But it's direct from Chicago to Vegas, same as this one.
I would probably go the 825 there.
850.
Why? I think that you probably have a better likelihood of getting selected at the 850. I don't think that, there's a cost-benefit analysis. Like, the $1,000 is if you're total, if there's a huge imposition, right? If this is 6 hours or next morning or something,
I don't really want to do it, but it's going to get to a price $1,000 is pretty.
I think 850 is a good number there to go with. I gotta say, there was a point in my life where I would literally go to the front desk. This was before they gave you the option on online. I would go to the counter and I would say, are you looking for volunteers? And I'll put my name on the
They're
list.
They're like, sir, there are 15 people. On
I will
flight.
Give you $10 if you let me take a later flight.
The first two vacations I went on with my now wife were because of oversold flights and the credits that I got.
Always want to do it. My wife will never let.
It's harder now with kids, right?
My kids would understand. I think if I said, it's the cash we're getting for it.
Plus,
I
you're traveling less.
Let's do
so,
it.
So, like, you get these opportunities come around fewer and farther between.
Yeah, right. I would probably go with the 850.
Okay.
I'm curious what Professor Selman would say about the game theory.
I don't know
behind
what Dana
it,
says.
But I think 850. Bo,
what would you say?
Yeah, I feel like if you want it, the game theory to me would be like, take the 750.
But you want it at a certain price point. Like, if it was like $25, you don't want it.
Well, sure, but $750, I mean...
there's nothing to sneeze at.
$250 jump from $500 to $750. It's only a $100 jump from $750 to $850. Yeah. Maybe there are more people going $850. $750, you're going to lock it in.
I kind of like that.
I don't know.
So I did $850.
And you didn't get chosen?
Well, they called me up and said, like, you know, they're like, go to the front desk and we'll take your information. Then the guy said he didn't need me. Now, I don't know if he needed, if other people did it and got it, if I screwed myself. My wife said, do a thousand, like 1,050. There's going to be people doing less than that. I got no shot at 1,050. Like 850 is a that's a nice chunk of change. So there you go. I wonder what the, if anyone works, you know, for an airline or Dana is, let us know. What should we be doing in that spot? All right. How many more do we have?
Three. We got 1, 4, and 8. Give me number one.
Oh, okay. I didn't cross that one out. Number one. Okay. So I wrote, I had one down, but I don't know if we've already answered this or not. So Ty, if you think, I'll let you be the judge. You're not afraid to have voice your opinion on matters like this. All right. More likely at this time next year, we're doing a Radio Row pod about the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. Or we're doing a Radio Row pod about the new head coach of the Philadelphia Eagle. So you told me what the most likely scenario is. I think we stick with it. I think this is a different question. So you told me most likely scenario is they're a contender, but now I'm asking you what's more likely, they have a new head coach at this time next year, or they are representing the NFC in the Super Bowl for the second time in 3 years. What do you got?
I mean, I think just the odds are better that it would be a new head coach. I mean,
yeah, that was a bad one.
I don't know if that's a bad one, but it's hard for me to bet against just the...
All right, I'm switching it.
Okay.
Yeah, I was about to say Professor Shulman was going to be proud of me there because 2 of 32 teams make the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, that wasn't
8 of 32 teams change coaches.
Yeah.
You have a...
Good point. Good point.
4X chance there.
All right, here, do this. So we touched on him before. Get in Nick Sirianni's head. You guys were covering Nick Sirianni when he was hired. You followed every step of his tenure here. What is he thinking? But like when he goes to his confidants, the people he knows, they're not leaking. They know what he's going through. What is
Kevin Petullo?
Yeah. What is his take on what the organization has done, and how does he actually feel about it at this moment in time?
Well, you go first. I feel like you got a better insight.
But this is your question. You go first.
Yeah, you answer both.
Okay.
First.
Jeez.
It's okay.
You know, this is not the answer to the question, but it's part of it. No.
All right, so we're now on our second question for this.
No, I mean, okay. It's part of the, like, the funniness of the postseason interviews that is always curious to me. It's like, you know, Nick had more time than most coaches do because he got that extra time. They got to meet on Saturday or whatever because the snowstorm was so difficult for the people of Philadelphia. But, like, to be able to step back from the season, especially after a playoff loss, and, like, clear-headedly actually examine and self-search about what went wrong and the things that need to change and figure that out within like 72 hours always strikes me as kind of silly. Like,
well,
and the process
weeks.
Needs to keep moving.
Yeah, I mean, you always can't just wait along, but like, thing, but.
You know, it feels like to get off of the treadmill of the season and to be able to properly assess it would probably take longer than that. But what is going on in his head? I don't know. I think he thinks that the defense let him down, obviously. I think he probably harbors a bit of a grudge to Jonathan Gannon for the way everything happened. And there's like a part of him that maybe blames that a little bit. I think on offense, I don't believe that he is of the opinion that like he was the problem on offense. I don't think that he's wired that way. I think he has too much confidence in his own understanding of offense and coaching style. So that's why I feel like the recipe for like just handing things over to Kellen Moore and him staying away is combustible in my mind. But I think he also thinks like if I work hard, it's kind of like the conversation that Zach and I had in the fake interview. Like if I work hard enough and if I get back to the grind that like I needed to do on the way up, that I can solve these problems and, you know, I've got a good roster and, you know, I'm happy to be here. But I think that he probably thinks that he was railroaded to a degree, but he also understands that when things go wrong, changes have to happen.
He knows the business of the NFL at this point. Yeah. Okay. ZB, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a part of Nick that fundamentally believes you need to drag yourself through the mud, to use his term. right? But I also think that he views himself as the guy who was running sprints in college when everyone else was going to the parties. That he's the guy who...
He was going to the parties, too. Let's be fair.
No, but he's...
Famously a good beer pong player.
But that he's the guy who you know, had a nearly life-threatening leg injury in college and came back to play. That he's the guy who gave this bad press conference and rebounded and was mocked for this flower speech and came back. I think, like, he views himself as resilient. And then a key quote from that end-of-season press conference came from Howie that...
Why isn't anybody asking me any questions?
I wanted to follow up on.
I thought he was actually helping.
Yeah.
Looking out for Nick in that spot.
I didn't think so.
You didn't think so?
I think he wanted questions.
So I'll follow up with Howie on this at the combine. But Howie said, you don't want to overreact to an aberration. Okay. And I thought that was an interesting word. And I think Nick probably views the last 8 weeks or the last 7 weeks, as an aberration and not like an indication of the direction that the franchise is going, and that you shuffle some seats, but the core philosophy is not changing. And
that might change the order around.
The core values aren't changing. Yeah. So I think that's Nick's feeling is that there's nothing here I can't fix.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I probably feel like he thinks he's being unfair. Yeah, I don't think this is what he wanted to happen. I think it's more, yeah, kind of what
I think
said.
He's too prideful.
He understands the business of the NFL, and that if he wanted to keep his job, this is what he had to do. But I don't think he agrees that this is like the... I think on the defensive side, he agrees that this is all right. This is a great move, and this can help me win games. I think on the offensive side of the ball, he's probably like, give me a break. Kellen Moore knows more about offensive football.
Right. You interviewed me and Kellen Moore and hired me.
Yeah, and hired me, and it was, I'm sure he'll look at all the numbers from the season. Like, I mean, it just felt like in that press conference, it seemed to me he was relaying the message that was given to him, not the outcome, not the realization that he came to. Like, when he started saying the offense was stale, I'm like, come on, man, didn't come to that. You don't think this. I mean, if you thought, you would have been... There would have been more fixes in place.
Right, if you thought that you could change things.
Yeah, you would have at least tried stuff, changed things. You didn't. It looked the same throughout that entire... So someone told you the offense looked stale, which we all could see. It's true. The offense did look stale. We need fresh new ideas. I mean, how many coaches have we covered who they actually think they and their staff...
And he has said in the past,
in their area of expertise.
Right, and he has said, his bias is towards loyalty. Like, he wants the guys who have been there with him. It is not... the kinds of things we've heard from him before. And it's why one of the things that I've said is that, I think there were the greater chance of Nick getting let go was if they had been, competitive in the playoff game and lost, and it hadn't been quite a disaster, because then he would have gone into that meeting with Jeffrey Lurie thinking that he had, more of a leg to stand on. I'm the guy who got us to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm not accepting these changes. And then if they disagreed about those things, that's when they sort of choose to part ways, and Nick maybe thinks he's got another job waiting for him. It went so badly, and it was so disastrous that he had to just go in there and be like, thank you, sir, may I have another? I will take whatever changes it is so that I can keep my job.
But where I disagree with you in terms of, how he thought they should proceed, in the sense that I do think Nick's affection for Brian Johnson is genuine, but Brian Johnson wasn't, this long-term Nick guy. I think, you look at the two coaches who were dismissed, I think they were brought to Nick from Howie, right? I think that Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon, those were his guys. Those were the guys he came in with. And there's even people on the staff like Kevin Patullo. That's his guy.
And Jason Michael is still there from all we know. So the guys, that's true.
Yeah. So I think that maybe sacrificing the offensive control, if you will, took a little bit of swallowing his pride. But I think the coordinator changes, I think he looks at that as the cost of doing business in the NFL. And not to say that he doesn't feel that way about Brian Johnson, but the background with Brian Johnson is different than it was with Shane Steichen.
The DK McDonald one, though, is sort of a Sopranos.
Yes.
You're going to have to take out one of your guys.
That's his guy. Yeah.
You think they just showed him three and they're like, you got to pick one and you're out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean. I don't know. Yeah, it's not just the coordinators. You're right. He's been able to keep some guys, but not all guys. It's like the coordinators need their guys.
Yep.
You know? We all know how this works. So it's interesting. All right, what do we got?
We got four and eight.
4-8. All right, who's up?
So
the Eagles record next year.
I am up here. Let's go with Chris Webber, number four.
All right. Your confidence on a scale of 1 to 10 in Jalen Hurts after the Super Bowl last year. Okay, so after the Super Bowl, we watched him go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes in that game. On a scale of 1 to 10, what was your confidence then that this is just the guy, the franchise guy, top five QB, going to lead the Eagles for the next whatever, 60 years? And what is your confidence now after the way last year transpired?
I would say it was like a 9 last year.
Okay.
And it's probably a 7.5 this year, 7.5.
Okay.
I think that he has everything you would want in terms of the way he's wired. I don't put as much into the kind of this talk about like he needs to be more vocal. I think there are things he can do, but I do agree with what Jalen said after the season that like the things you praised me for last year, you're criticizing me for now. I think this is kind of who Jalen is. I think one of the issues, and as I say this, I think if you're looking for an issue with Jalen, kind of in terms of how he's wired, is that it's almost as if he expects everyone to be wired the way he is. And that's simply not the case, right? You need to, part of that job is understanding everyone has different styles. Everyone, and sometimes people can perceive things, even though that's not the intention. But anyways, I look at this more as like between the lines, what's happening. And I would give the benefit of the doubt that I'm giving him is I don't know if he was fully, completely healthy throughout this year, right? I do think, and Bo was on this before I was, and actually Brian Baldinger said it on our PHLY show around the time of that Rams game, that when you watch him run, it just doesn't look right. And then I was the one who's like, well, he's not on the injury report. He's never missed a practice. But yeah, if you just use your eyes, it is clear. He doesn't look as explosive as he did a year ago.
But also that should maybe be the default expectation.
That he's hurt?
I mean, I don't know how many, it's hard. Impossible for us to say what percentage of how hurt he was, but he has had an injury every season. He's been a starter, right? And it's if your quarterback's touching the ball on this many snaps, and not to say, all right, running quarterbacks get hurt more. I'm not saying that, but just I don't know how many 100% he's just going to be feeling great by the end of the season. It's the nature of the NFL too. I mean, how many teams went to their backup quarterback this season? So I don't know if I totally you kind of have to be able to still perform when you're a little banged up.
I just don't think it's binary in that you're either a franchise quarterback or you're not. There's a difference to me between Patrick Mahomes and what Tom Brady and Peyton Manning were every year, right? To that next tier. And then kind of the tier after that, right?
I agree with that.
And so if Jalen Hurts is one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, that's really good. Even if he's not one of the top 3 quarterbacks in the league, right? So that's where I look at it and say that my confidence is still pretty high that he'll consistently put you in a position to win it, to be in the postseason and to win games. Does that mean that he's going to consistently, like Patrick Mahomes, you're expecting to play at the second weekend of February every year.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can say that. With
no one else
with
is in that category.
Exactly. So, yeah. So it's not like at that point, but I do think Jalen Hurts will put you in position to consistently be a postseason contender. And that's a good outcome.
Yeah. I'm wondering what's the bar for those guys? Is it maybe once every 3 years you're in the Final Four? We might be listening to this going, that's it. But it's kind of look around. I mean, that is sort of, for the great, even the great quarterbacks who are not Patrick Mahomes, that's kind of all right, if once every 2 to 3 years you're in the Final Four and have a chance to get there, that is kind of the bar for the next.
That's Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen right now, right? So,
Paul, what do you think?
On the injury front, I think it's Zach and I think we've sort of circled around each other on this because going into the season, you were let Jalen be Jalen.
Yeah.
And I was no, don't let, you need him to be healthy down the stretch. You're paying him all this money. And I once I saw what that looked like, I didn't like it. And so that is his superpower. That's what makes the offense different is when he's able to do that. And if you could pick, I would rather have Jalen at 100% for 12 games and a backup quarterback for 5 games than just have Jalen at 70% for 17 games, probably. But in the big picture conversation, I think where he is if you have the right infrastructure around him, if the talent is good and the coaching is good to put him in good positions, he can be a top 5 quarterback. I think that's fair. I don't think that he is like a top 5 quarterback situation independent. I think you could put Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, just like sub the Mahomes level, put them on any team, and I would still feel very good about my chances of having a top 5 offense or whatever. Tanner McKee the same. I think with Jalen, you need the stuff around him, and like if AJ Brown gets hurt and misses a bunch of time, I don't know that I love like what they have on offense around him. I mean, I like Devontae, but just in terms of the talent, and I think that's Kellen Moore's job here, and that's why like I think that is the most important decision for the franchise is like what can we do to get the stuff around him to make him that top 5 quarterback.
I mean, the stuff around him is
it's great.
I mean, I don't know how many teams are better.
Well, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
But okay. Coaching-wise, like schematically. Right. I don't know.
What was your number? What's your confidence?
I think I agree with everything Zach said. I think it was like a 9 last year. I'm maybe like a 6 this year that he's like a, face of the franchise for the next 10 years guy. But I think he's the quarterback for the next 5 years.
I think that's where I am. Yeah. I think he'll have like top 5 seasons in his future. I don't think he will. I don't think every year. I think he'll be open to criticism some years. And then, the thing about how much can he like carry everyone else, you kind of hope you don't have to find that out and he can operate.
And I agree with everything.
And I will say, and I've said, as I said when I was on with you guys, that the coaching staff did fail him. So I do want to see with a competent coach who has answers to some of these issues. Now, next year at this time, if we're saying they're not thrown over the middle, they don't have answers for the blitz, now we're going to have a different conversation because we've seen Kellen Moore direct 2 top 5 offenses with Dak Prescott that were less talented than this Eagles offense is. So then you have to start looking at the quarterback.
Go ahead.
It just strikes me like, it's in my mind because I was just talking to Matt Ryan downstairs.
Flex.
And here's big someone flex. who was an MVP of the league, right? Was in the Super Bowl. They were really good in like 2012. And then 2016, they were the best team in the NFC. And, there were years in there where they were going to the playoffs. And he was consistently one of like the better quarterbacks in the league, and he had these high watermarks. But if you talk to anyone about the top quarterbacks of the last 10 years, how many names are they mentioning before they get to Matt Ryan? And it's interesting because, like I said, MVP of the league, been to the Super Bowl, was close to winning it. But
that might be a good comp.
That
Matt
bars
Ryan.
Exactly.
I don't know. Some people love Matt Ryan's career. Mm-hmm.
And would you take Matt Ryan's career where you have a 10-year run where in there you make the Super Bowl, you win an MVP, and you're like constantly in position to win games because he's your quarterback, but you never are the prohibitive favorite because he's your quarterback either.
That's a good one.
I was just going to add, I think the Kelce thing here is an interesting factor because if Kelce moves on, is Jalen then the one setting protections? Is that something that he can handle? Is that too? I don't know. It's just a change factor.
It's going to
make a lot of things
harder. Run game, pass game, everything there. All right, last one.
I'm curious about this one because you had 7 5 minutes
before
the show.
You're not
going to
be impressed. I needed an 8.
Yeah.
One Eagle who could be traded between now and the start of the 2024 regular. See, I'm pro here. I'm talking slowly to let you think about it.
Yeah, that's smart.
Get a couple names there between now and week 1 of the regular season. One Eagles player who could be traded. I know Zach said this AJ Brown stuff is nonsense. I don't even,
That what?
The AJ Brown stuff was nonsense. Came out of it's a sports radio topic. And then he gets his reaction was a little strange with it, but that's probably just a wide receiver being a wide receiver. Is that how you read it? When he was on FanDuel TV, he could have just said no. I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
But he was gonna like, we'll see what happens. It's a business, but it's okay. That's why you're a wide receiver.
I would say I'm gonna answer this as the biggest name who could be traded and not the most likely player to be traded.
Yeah, don't give me a little under the radar.
I could see a scenario in which Hassan Reddick gets traded.
Ooh, I like that one. Good one. If, he's going final year of his deal.
He's going to want a new deal.
Yes. He wanted a new deal.
He's
going to
want some assurances about the way he's going to be used. I don't think he was happy with having to drop as much as he did last year, and I don't think that he's going to get those assurances.
You drop in Fangio's defense,
right.
As Sean Sayad informed
and so if he's going to be entering what is a new contract year, knowing that he's not going to get as many pass rushing opportunities, I think he will say, can I look for a trade if there's good compensation? And I think if the Eagles found a good partner, that would be something they were interested in. Now, obviously, they care about that position so much that they're going to need some heft in return to be able to backfill him. I haven't looked closely at the free agent market. I know that is your specialty. Maybe with 22, they could use something there, but that would be like the biggest name player I could see getting moved.
All right, before you answer, Zach, so I was, as you were saying that, I was, you know, my library of trades in my head, I was trying to think of what he would net.
Frank Clark.
Frank Clark, I mean, that was a terrible trade for the Chiefs. I think they gave up 2 first-round picks. Bradley Chubb got a first-round pick. Hassan Reddick has been more productive than Bradley Chubb. Now, I still don't know. I'm sure there are still teams that are like, well, would he fit in our scheme or whatever, but Bradley Chubb got a first. Von Miller, in the middle of a season where you're only getting him for 6 games and he was in his 30s, got a 2 and a 3. So I feel like you're looking at, like, if you can find the right, I mean, in my head, I'm like, I don't think you're getting a first for Hassan Reddick.
Right.
But I don't know. History would suggest maybe you could. I think you could get a second round pick. Maybe it's a conditional, one of those. All right, second turns into something else if he has double digit sacks. Maybe it's a second and a fourth, like second and a third, something like that. So good one. Good job by you.
I'm actually going on the other side.
Okay.
Josh Sweat.
Wow.
Really?
Your boy.
Yeah.
What?
Oh my God.
2 things here.
Josh. Wherever he is, that poor guy, take a knife out of your back.
No, so you're talking about Josh Sweat's also entering the last year of his deal. I think
I didn't even realize that. Okay.
I think Josh Sweat, I should say effectively the last year of his deal. Like there's like
void years. Yeah.
There are, I think Josh Sweat probably views it like he signed a below market deal when he did. I think he's someone who will want to cash in. I mean, you
would
talk
have been nice
about,
if he, you know, hit the quarterback once in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I think that there's probably a thought from like his perspective that he wasn't used the right way, right? That he can be better.
It's weird how you guys know my memory is terrible, but I can just picture him dropping into the flat where he was not supposed to drop it, and they just complete this easy
on his 1500th
right
snap of the season.
Yeah,
like,
true.
Yeah.
Right, sorry.
I think that if you're looking at it from like Howie's perspective, you might say that maybe he's had major injuries before. He's come back from it, but maybe it's a point where, you know, you want to kind of get out a year early than a year late. Are you worried about giving a third deal to him?
I actually think he would get you a first. I think he gets you.
You
a first.
Do?
You don't think so? How old is he? He's like in his.
He's
26. Young.
20, 26. 25, 26.
I would take a first-round pick for Josh Sweat.
I mean, if Montez Sweat got you a second-round pick.
In the last year of his.
Yeah.
I mean, Josh Sweat has had a more impressive career than Bradley Chubb, right? I mean, Chubb's had all kinds of, even before this last year.
Now,
I don't know.
I'm not saying that's going to happen.
One or
yeah,
two.
I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying if you kind of want to reset at that position, if Vic Fangio says, I need a certain type of pass rusher. And then my wild card there.
Sweat would get you. I think Sweat would get you more than Reddick. I do feel confident.
I agree with that,
that
based on age.
Reddick was.
I would give
agent.
Up more for Reddick.
Okay, but Reddick was a free agent over and over again and did
Yeah,
not
but
have,
then he had 2 seasons of
yeah, but
double digit sacks again.
Yeah.
I mean, he's clearly a better player.
Just the way NFL teams work, I think they would talk themselves into giving up more for Sweat than Reddick.
Well, then I would do it.
Okay. And then the wild card, I don't think this happens because I actually don't think his value's consistent with his talent, but Dallas Goedert would be the other name I was
That's
thinking.
That's interesting.
Because I don't think they're maximizing Dallas Goedert. I mean, he's older than people realize. Like, Josh Sweat and him were in the same draft class. Goddard's 29. Sweat's 26, I think, right? So, and I think that's like an under-the-radar spot for the Eagles to draft someone pretty high.
All right.
Do you think they could trade like Jordan Davis?
I think they could. I mean, I do think they need a nose tackle. So now you can add a nose tackle. For
and Milton is in the last year. Milton Williams is entering the last year of his deal. If you don't want to extend him, would you get something for him? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
tight end trades, there have not been a lot of them. Sure. Tony Gonzalez was probably the biggest one.
Greg Olsen, yeah.
Hockenson?
Yeah, Hockenson got a two, I believe. Yep. So, I mean, the tight end market is weird. Yeah. So you would think you would get a two for Goddard.
Hockenson? Can't stay healthy.
Yeah, that's true. All right. There you go. All right. What do we think? How was the exercise?
I love this.
Do you think Arjuna will be volunteering for this next year?
I hope so. This is fun. Yeah.
I think if he gets a mic and he can talk a little movies.
Yeah, that's right. We get him a mic next year if we do this. All right, what are your plugs for the week?
The PHLY Eagles podcast. You can watch us all week. We've been live at noon, Monday to Thursday, and then we've got a different time on Friday, but we've had some good guests coming through. The All City Network out in full force. And big guest tomorrow to address a long-running thread in Birds with Friends PHLY history.
And then in addition to that, everything Bo said, and I want to give a shout out to Bo. Bo has been awesome this week. Like, he is in his element with these interviews. There were interviews at media night last night that were just like laugh out loud funny that Bo did. He's an awesome interviewer.
Can we get you on the records, Sheil, on how often you pee and sitting down?
Definitely the middle of the night. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how you don't. I don't know. Okay, if I'm tired, yeah, I have nothing against
that. Sometimes you need a rest.
Yeah. You've gotten me on the record on this before. This was like a conversation 3 years ago. All right.
Yeah, but I also want to add in allphly.com. That's the home of all.
Bo's really had nothing to do with what you were.
That's the home of our written content. And have some good stuff up there and good stuff coming that I'm excited to write and excited to share.
All right. There you go. Thank you to Zach. Thank you to Bo. Thank you to Arjuna. I mean, most of all, Iowa or
easily the top seed
something.
Here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And thank you to Cliff Augustine, who's going to produce this bad boy. We'll be back later this week. We'll see what we do. Maybe we do a little Eagles. Maybe we do a Sixers, make a move at the deadline. I know Cliff's got some takes he wants to fire off. We will do something. Until then, thank you for listening to the Ringers Philly Special. We'll talk to you soon. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th. And in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.